Homily 61, The Call of the Apostle Matthew. Jesus said to Matthew, "Follow me." In an interview that made headlines, Pope Francis spoke of his frequent visits to the Roman Church of St. Louis of France to contemplate the striking Caravaggio painting, The Calling of St. Matthew, inspired by today's gospel. Pope Francis said, "Jesus looked at Matthew, whose name means gift of God, with feelings of mercy and love. He chose him, and he said, 'Follow me.' That finger of Jesus pointing at Matthew points at me. I feel like Matthew. It is Matthew's gesture that strikes me. He holds on to his money as if he were to say, 'No, not me. This money is mine. Here, this is me, Francis, a sinner on whom the Lord has turned his gaze.'" The first main point. Notice the irony in today's gospel. Matthew is in a toll booth, probably collecting taxes on the fish leaving the Sea of Galilee area. The Jewish people despise tax collectors, because only the highest bidders obtained their position, which was to extract taxes from their countrymen to line the pockets of the hated Roman occupiers. Moreover, most tax collectors were known for overcharging so that they could skim money off the top. Thus, they were not only collaborators with the despised Roman conquerors, but also corrupt. Even the Romans scorned them. Think about this for a moment. Matthew had a rather cushy job, certainly married, wife, children, and extended family. It's fairly certain that he possessed land. However, Matthew responded to Jesus' call, "Follow me," without hesitating. The Gospels say that he got up and left everything for an unstable life as a follower of a wandering prophet. I would have asked Jesus if I could take at least my iPad and my IMAX and my books along. In St. Ignatius's Spiritual Exercises, the Apostle Matthew is the paradigm of devout persons who are so moved and attracted by God's call that, without hesitation or the possibility of hesitation, they follow it. The second main point. The Pharisees immediately slurred Jesus because he ate with tax collectors and sinners. Unlike our fast food culture, Jews viewed table fellowship as something intimate, as an act which bound them together, and also to God. Therefore, no fervent Jew would have eaten with tax collectors, thieves, prostitutes, brawlers, drunkards, peasants, farmers, Boston College students, the Jesuits who teach them, anyone who could not or would not live a fully faithful Jewish life, faithful to the covenants. Remember, Jesus was not like the ascetic John the Baptist. He frequented cheap bars in promulgating the kingdom. He was called a glutton, a drunkard, a friend of, a recent term, deplorables. Jesus, a friend of deplorables. Jesus' table fellowship with outcasts, with anyone who shared his view of the kingdom, was therefore a subversive prophetic action that not only indicated that the messianic banquet of the kingdom of mercy and forgiveness had begun because Jesus was there, it also prophetically dramatized that the Jews of Jesus' day had a false view of what the kingdom of God was. The third main point. When Jesus quoted the prophet Hosea, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice," and said that he came to call sinners, he was in effect judging the beloved Jewish temple to be irrelevant, redundant, because God's mercy and forgiveness were given through him, the presence of God, the real temple, not through ritual purity and the animal sacrifices performed in the temple. In fact, because of Jewish national fanaticism, Jesus predicted that the temple would be destroyed. Jesus did more than cleanse the temple. He doomed it, because Israel would not change her ways. Again, Jesus acts and speaks as God's subversive prophet by undermining cherished Jewish beliefs. Today's lesson. Like Matthew, be quick to follow Jesus' promptings. Seek him for your peace, mercy, and forgiveness. He is our true temple. As Jesus said to Matthew, follow me.